Looking forward to some economic news.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this Friday morning. President Barack Obama will reinforce the administration's predictions of economic recovery in a speech on Wall Street Monday. That's the one-year anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers Investment Bank. Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale has more.
President Obama will tell Wall Street it's time for the government to start winding down its rescue efforts. That will echo the message from Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner yesterday. He told congressional watchdogs the stronger economy means banks no longer need injections of taxpayer money.
We are now in a position to start to adjust our strategy, moving from crisis response, from the emergency response to recovery, from rescuing the economy to repairing and rebuilding the financial system to repairing and rebuilding the foundations for future growth.
Geithner expects banks will be able to repay about half the money taxpayers have lent them within the next 12 to 18 months. But Geithner also warned, historically, financial rescues have ended too early. He said the government will continue to buy toxic assets held by banks. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Markets worldwide are mainly up today. European shares higher right now, between 0.5% and 0.5%. Asian stocks closed mixed. Hong Kong and Chinese shares were up, but in Japan, the Nikkei was down slightly. On Wall Street yesterday, how about five in a row in positive territory? The S&P and NASDAQ gained more than 1%. The Dow added about 80 points and some change to close at 96.27. This month, Walmart starts rolling out a new program. The retailer won't issue any more paper checks. Employees can either get paid through direct deposit or they can get their money loaded onto a prepaid debit card. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports on what this means for Walmart workers.
Walmart's pitching the new program as a winner for everybody. Workers get their money more quickly, and Walmart saves money on payroll, though it won't say how much. Kimberly Gartner works with people who have limited access to banks. She sees the new program and others like it as a boon.
The prepaid cards provide a really solid option that in many ways have the same opportunities or features and functions as a checking account does.
But some consumer advocates worry the move toward prepaid cards pushes people away from traditional banks and helps create a kind of two-tier financial system. Deyanira Del Rio is with an Economic Justice Resource Center in New York, and she says companies should help employees get access to regular accounts.
Our concern is essentially that prepaid cards on the whole are just a very expensive way for most people to conduct financial transactions.
Walmart isn't the first to use these cards for payroll. Several other companies have made the switch. And last year, the federal government started using similar cards to pay Social Security benefits. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Apparently, even Ivy League financial managers haven't been able to outsmart the recession. Harvard's endowment just took its biggest loss in 40 years. The university says in the year that ended June 30th, the endowment lost 27%. That's $11 billion. The investment decline forced the school to lay off staff and interrupt a campus expansion across the Charles River. Yale also announced a drop yesterday. Officials there say its endowment shrank a larger than expected 30%. Both schools have been long admired for their top-notch returns for years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com.
Britain could be on the brink of a new North Sea bonanza. The seabed around its coast could yield another multi-billion dollar fortune. But this time, the UK would not be extracting oil and gas. The plan is to sell space under the sea for storing carbon dioxide. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
From oil rigs like this, Britain has pumped billions of dollars worth of fossil fuels out of the North Sea. Now it could make billions more from the battle against global warming by pumping carbon dioxide back down under the same sea.
The whole purpose of doing this is to store the carbon dioxide for hundreds and probably tens of thousands of years to prevent it going into the atmosphere.
Stuart Hazeldine of Edinburgh University says capturing carbon emissions from power stations and burying them could be one of the best ways of tackling climate change, and Britain is well placed to cash in, according to his new survey of the North Sea.
The UK has been blessed with a large amount of storage capacity in the rocks around the UK. We've probably got hundreds of years of storage for European power plants.
Offering undersea storage will appeal to Britain's European neighbours, says David Reiner of the Judge Business School. Europe's biggest carbon emitter, Germany, is already trying to develop onshore carbon storage sites and meeting resistance.
They call it NUMBI, not under in my backyard. So the big advantage that they have in the case of the offshore and in the case of the North Sea is that that considerably reduces some of those concerns.
There are still concerns. Will the CO2 leak, damaging marine life? Is there any danger of the seabed suddenly releasing all the CO2 in a giant volcanic belch? Mike Stevenson of the British Geological Survey has studied a carbon capture project in the Norwegian sector of the North Sea.
We can see the CO2 collecting. We know what it's doing. So the science is telling us that it looks okay.
North Sea carbon capture could earn Britain $7 billion a year and support up to 60,000 jobs. Stevenson says the UK should follow the example of Texas, which has a similar geology. The state is already promoting itself as the CO2 sink for the US. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
I don't know about you, but when I think of risk ratings, I'm thinking insurance, maybe lending. In Britain, there's something else, the Biscuit Injury Threat Evaluation, BITE for short. A survey done for a cookie company there shows more than half the British population have had some type of injury while taking their tea and biscuit break. At least 500 were hurt seriously enough to be hospitalized. Dangers include burned tongues while cookie dunking in scalding hot tea, in some instances getting hit by flying fragments. The cookie with the highest risk for injury, according to the report, the custard cream biscuit. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.